Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. It's a college football Saturday, but we're talking Jacksonville Jaguars live here. No Sleep Teal, a show dedicated to discussion involving the NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm Travis Ryer. He's Evan Ryer. And we talked about this a little bit earlier in the week in reviewing the Jags' second win of the season, Ev. This isn't a Jacksonville team that is exactly lit it up out on the West Coast. I don't know exactly how many teams this far east actually do. It's a tough trip. But it seems like it's going to be a little bit easier because these 49ers, starting with Nick Bosa, the outstanding defensive end and pressure provider for that Niner defense, he's out with an ACL. Yeah. Is this about as good of a setup going into this type of game, Evan, as the Jaguars could have asked for?
I think so. I think if you are, you know, if you're going to catch a Kyle Shanahan 49ers team right now, is actually pretty good. I mean, I know they're, you know, they're off to a good start, right? 3-0. I mean, really, they have not looked good even when some of these guys were healthy in the past few weeks. And it's just, it's tough. It's almost like I do feel bad for San Francisco fans because, man, like every last year and then now this year, they can't seem to catch a break with all these injuries. But if you're the Jags, you're thinking, okay, you know, they're beat up. They're 3-0. You could say they're due for a loss. Probably should have lost to the Cardinals last week. You know, there's no reason to think you can't go into San Francisco and win this game. Other than, again, the just historical factor of, yeah, the Jaguars are not very good on the West Coast. But
I've got zero sympathy for the 49ers for the simple fact that a couple of years ago, you and I sat in the upper reaches of that north end zone at Everbank and got heckled by Niner fans because they absolutely, the Niners absolutely took the soul.
Yeah.
Took the soul of the 2023 Jacksonville Jaguars and that 34-3 win here in Duval. So no sympathy coming from me, but your point stands in terms of what Shanahan and his team have kind of had to endure these last couple of years. Brock Purdy, though, is going to be back, apparently. But to what extent is he really back with the type of injuries that he's coming back from, Ev?
Yeah, I mean, you know, turf toe can be really, really severe. I mean, Joe Burrow's out for months because of it, right? But it's it should be something that the Jaguars, you know, are pretty – I wouldn't say they would be necessarily intimidated by Brock Purdy in this spot. I mean, really, again, not especially great over the past year or so. And then on top of that, if he can't be as mobile as he's, you know, typically looking to be, that's huge. If the Jaguars are, you know, can get into a game where they just say, Brock, you got to pass the ball 40 times. It's kind of like what teams want to do to the Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence. You know what I mean? They can get them off the run game. They can get him get them away from Christian McCaffrey and from Brian Robinson Jr. That's the exact kind of spot that that the Jags defense will want to be in. You know, related to this, I actually found a really interesting graphic that is basically pass affected rate versus blitz rate. Now, the Jaguars are blitzing only, I think, 21% of the time. Compared to the rest of the NFL, they're like 18th or 19th. They actually don't blitz at a very high rate. However, their pass affected rate is the highest in the NFL. They are disrupting the quarterback more than any other team in the NFL, and it's while they're blitzing, you know, not that much. In this situation, I'm curious if Campanelli and them are going to actually just say, okay, well, Brock can't get out of the pocket very well this week. How about we just bring five or more, you know, a lot more frequently?
You don't have to account for George Kittle this week. You don't have to account for Brandon Ayuk, right?
Yeah. Juwan Jennings might not go. Ricky Pearsall might not go. Either of them, like if either of them are out, I mean, really at that point, you know, Brock Purdy's throwing to, probably one of those two and DeMarcus Robinson, MVS. I mean, this is not a wide receiver group that, especially with how the secondary's been playing for the Jags the past few weeks overall, you know, obviously some issues here and there. This is not a passing offense that you're especially scared of right now.
Yeah, that was going to be my question for you, given Purdy's current situation with the type of injuries he has. Do you come get him? Do you try to pressure him more? Or do you, you know, let him see if he can beat you from the pocket. I agree. I could see Devin Lloyd and, you know, some things coming from the secondary. As we've seen Wingard used as a blitzer in certain situations. So Camp's been good too about his variety, you know, not being a one trick pony in his pressures. But it also brings into question, you know, Travis Hunter from the Jags perspective and his usage this week. Are you expecting a continuation of what we saw last week against the Texans and an increase that we saw even the previous week against the Bengals in terms of his defensive presence? And do you sort of counter that with, well, you look over on the offensive side and De'Ami Brown right now, going into this game, in terms of Jaguar question marks, as far as availability goes, he's got to be at the top of the list, doesn't he?
Yeah. You know, I think this is, if there was ever a spot for Travis Hunter to break out on offense, this would be a really good one with no De'Ami Brown. But yeah, I also think that if it comes down to it, the Jaguars are clearly now feeling comfortable running Hunter out there for, you know, over half the defensive snaps. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really do hope, though, that they, you know, that Cohen and Co. have kind of a special plan for Hunter. I mean, obviously, they've got to find something new because De'Ami Brown's kind of been their big play guy over the first few weeks. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, BTJ had the big catch towards the end of the game last week, but, you know, that's after a lot of issues.
You're not trusting that, Ev? You're not trusting that as carryover is what you're saying?
I mean, I want to believe, and I mean, really at the end of the day, I mean, BTJ is going to have probably 10, 11 targets in this game. He's going to have his opportunity to do that. But this is where I want to see Travis Hunter do more of what we saw last week. You know, when he made that man miss, picked up 20 yards, like they're going to need that. They're going to need that in this game. Because while the Jaguars obviously are going to still be looking to run the football first, you know, even without Nick Bosa, even without some of their other names on defense, Fred Warner especially is not going to allow that to, you know, be easy, you know.
Alpha Fred. Oof.
He's incredible. He's still one of my favorite players.
That game 2 years ago, I still have trauma from him just big boying the Jaguar offense, basically.
He's exceptional. Yeah. And, you know, they also have a few other names right now. D Winters has had an incredible start to the season. If you haven't watched 49ers yet, D Winters is kind of the guy right now. Jordan Elliott, you know, is not necessarily quite as good as he's historically been, but still not a guy that it's easy to run the football on. This is one where, again, you know, obviously if the Jaguars offensive line can kind of lay the wood and they can run the ball, then, you know, this gets a lot simpler. But in one way or another, Trevor and, you know, the receivers available are going to have to make some big plays. And that's kind of what I'm looking to Travis Hunter for.
You know, I keep going back to field goals in each of these first three games, but this feels like another Cam Little game to me.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I mean, the happiest person in Duval County this week, you know, when you think about Bosa is Walker Little. You know, I mean, I know Mikel Williams, you know, Georgia standout, Bryce Huff is a veteran that the Niners acquired in the offseason. Going to be some semblance of a variation of those two guys for sure. But boy, the opportunity to play offense more the way you want to, instead of having the Niners dictate to you, which is what they love to do, which is exactly what they did to the Jags. They took the soul of the Jags a couple of years ago. Maybe not that much of a concern. Renardo Green, also starting corner for the Niners, listed as questionable. So it's not just the concerns with Purdy and, you know, the absences of just absolute firepower on the offensive side of the ball and Ayuk and Kittle. It's more on the defensive side too.
Yeah, no. And that's, what's kind of interesting too, is that while despite already having some injuries to like kind of open up the season, Niners defense has definitely shown up so far. I mean, you held a Seattle offense that's pretty solid to just 13, you know, Kyler Murray to 15 points. And then, you know, actually the highest amount of points they allowed this season was to Spencer Rattler and the Saints. A lot of garbage time scoring there. But, you know, you know, whatever. So that at the end of the day, even with these injuries, I think this is going to be a pretty defensive battle if the Jags win this game. Mm-hmm. That 49ers squad is still pretty strong. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of a spot. You know what I mean? It's I don't want to say a trap game. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think the Jags can be counted as like a team that counts towards a trap game. But if, you know, there was, like I said, if there was ever a moment to catch the 49ers this season, it's probably this week, like compared to when they get healthy later in the year.
Yeah, and this isn't the 49er offense from a couple of years ago that the Jaguars saw. And it starts really, what have you seen from Christian McCaffrey in terms of dealing with him and defending him now with the issues he's had physically here in the last year plus or so?
Yeah, I mean, it's been kind of rough sledding for mm-hmm. McCaffrey this season. I mean, he's only averaged 3.4 yards a carry. He has no rushing touchdowns. That's wild. Now, granted, he does have 25 catches for 213 yards because they're going to get him the ball one way or the other. But that's kind of where, you know, you're looking at Devin Lloyd. You're looking at maybe Gardeck. I think this could be a Gardeck game. I keep thinking that. I keep thinking you talk about blitzing. You talk about kind of maybe.
Well, they could be in more base against, you know, with what the 49ers want to do, right? I mean, that puts Gardeck on the field if you're in more of your 4-3 or your base defense.
Yeah, this is a spot where, you know, weirdly enough, that's when you talk about Travis Hunter snaps. I mean, if they're not running three corners out there every play, then maybe this is where we actually see him get a bit of a break on defense after kind of ramping up the past couple weeks. So Aloha Cullen, I think linebackers are going to be pretty critical in this game.
Absolutely.
Also looking at Eric Armstead, of course, revenge game for Eric Armstead. Also Jordan Jefferson revenge game against the Jaguars. Get ready for that. Jordan Jefferson, we'll be looking for Trevor Lawrence.
You may have to find him in the pregame. I don't know how much we'll see him.
I honestly am curious about, you know, I mean, obviously Christian McCaffrey is still the bell cow, but Brian Robinson Jr. has actually had a pretty good start to the year for
Their 4 yard per carry guy right now is Brian Robinson after coming over from the Commanders.
So, you know, just don't fall asleep when McCaffrey's out of the game. Don't let Shanahan do the Shanahan thing, you know, I mean, where, you know, if he puts two running backs out there, if he puts, you know, all the motion, all the different stuff that, you know, they like to do, you can't be tricked. But this defense has been pretty, not just, you know, good this year, but poised, I would say. You know, they they overall, other than, you know, that Bengals final drive, really, they've taken some shots in the mouth. The way they came back from that, you know, immediate touchdown after the Trevor Lawrence interception last week, you know, I'm feeling a bit more confident about this group than I ever thought I would 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's going to be critical because, as we talked about, really anywhere they haven't been able to sustain it in the last season, two seasons now, almost two full seasons when you go back to the collapse in 2023. So critically important, I think, to get over that hump as quickly as you can under a new regime.
Yeah.
And we outlined all the different advantages in this game that you feel like the Jaguars had. Well, we did that last week with the Texans, and that game, even in the fourth quarter, felt like it was going to go the other way. So it's still a process that I think this team under this group is undergoing as far as stepping on people's necks when you get the chance, with an emphasis on the road. And it just doesn't feel like the Niners could be any more teed up to do that with than this week. But sometimes, as I've referred to it, the grime of losing game in, game out, month in, month out, year in, year out, can be especially tough to remove. And the Niners still have enough of those core guys, like you talked about Warner, that it's not going to be easy. You know that. And so I'm expecting another grinder, kind of like last week. I think 1st-20 could win this game Sunday. Yeah. Where are you at with that?
I'd feel the same. You know, something I was thinking about too is that Jaguars offense out the gate has been pretty good the past few games. You know, not necessarily scoring a touchdown on every opening drive, but They did do that on the road against the Bengals. Mm-hmm. You do that in this game, I think that's a huge, huge, huge deal. Because right now the 49ers offense just isn't clicking like that. You know, if you can get like a 2-score lead early, Jaguars can play the type of game they would like to play, where Trevor Lawrence is maybe throwing the ball 30 times rather than 40. But yeah, I would say, I mean, when we talk about like score predictions and different things like that, in my head, when I, you know, envision, you know, a winning score for the Jags, it's probably, yeah, like 24-14 or something like that. Like, that's what it's got to look like. My actual score prediction is, unfortunately, a 23-17 loss.
Wow.
For the Jaguars.
I
think what you mentioned, that despite all these things, all these, you know, positives kind of going for the Jags, I just feel like that, you know, going on this kind of road trip, you know, looking as sloppy as they did last week, mm-hmm. the past 2 weeks, I just still am struggling to trust that this team won't, you know, kind of F around and find out, let the 49ers stay in the game, and then, you know, let Brock Purdy, you know, at least have enough time to make a play. I will say, though, you talk about Cam Little, 49ers special teams, not exactly the shit right now.
No.
So it's going to be
bringing in Eddie Pinheiro, the former Florida Gator now. Yeah. I think he's 5 for 5.
Man, but maybe they're turning that corner.
The point is, a good one about where the Jags, once again, with specialists Logan Cook and Cam Little. And as you've outlined here on the show, they've been good in terms of covering, which and not giving up the big play, the critical game turning play, like we've seen other teams do just in the last week or so in the NFL. Yeah. I think this still goes back to me for the Jags got to be able to run the ball with some success. And even with Bosa out, you know, even with some of that stuff going on for that Niners defense, that's still, to me, probably going to be pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
And that takes you back to Trevor and how much trust you have in him. We talked about this in relation to BTJ. You're not very trustful of him at this point, even with the big play late against the Texans. What about Trevor after he was a part of that situation and all the things we heard after the game? He changed the play, changed the protections, and still delivered the big throw in the big moment. Are you there yet with Trevor, especially when we're talking about a road situation? And it matters because the Niners are used to winning at home too, and there's something to that. When you're used to just owning it at your ballpark, That's a mindset that can be tough for teams like the Jags that have proven to be a good bit more fragile to sort of overcome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Levi Stadium is never, like, even when the 49ers aren't very good, that's not a kind place to go. We know that those fans are down the clown. We witnessed it in Jacksonville with the ones that traveled to Jacksonville in 2023. I think overcoming stuff like that, you have to have crazy strong mentality yourself. You have to have the mentality of, we go on road games and we win. The problem is that the Jaguars' last road game was something that they just blew. Yeah. So I worry a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got Wi-Fi chiming in here in the show comments. He says, Pinheiro missed his very first field goal as a 49er. I think that was an extra point, but the point remains, so to speak, that he has missed. And I think for Pinheiro in his history, it's been tougher on extra points. He's a guy that'll miss some extra points and then bang one home, like, you know, the game winner last week from distance. So he can be a bit erratic. The point stands, Wi-Fi, and we appreciate you chiming in. Yeah, that was the PAT, but. Yeah, I'm with you. It's a mindset game going into this, I think, as much as anything else. It's a revelation game from that perspective, how much has really changed, if anything, for the Jags, especially when they get away from their home park, especially when they get away from their home park out west against a very formidable organization. You know, I talk about this sometimes on the channel in relation to college football programs. In college football teams, there's a difference, right? I mean, the Niners, obviously, a history of world championships. Yeah. That is a first-class championship organization. Obviously, yeah. Somewhere the Jags, after 30 plus years, are still looking to join. But you got to take your steps when you can take them. And obviously, a great opportunity against this edition of the 49ers coming up on Sunday. I'm going Jags 19-17. I got four more Cam Little field goals. He's not going to miss this week. We're going to get the BOGO firehouse. He's going to have a couple, at least of 40 plus. And I think the Jags, I'm not going to be ready to say if it happens that, oh, yeah, they've exercised that demon, Evan. But I just think, as much as anything, with where the 49ers are right now, barring a kind of scenario that I think you're anticipating, they're going to have plenty enough to win. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to win big, but I think they can get it done by just a little bit.
I would love to see it. I mean, if you win this game, if you go on the road and win this game and you're 3-1 and you just went in, on the West Coast to a pretty good team, even with injuries, and you beat them, I mean, it's on. It is.
I mean, yeah, when you think about that type of start, if it happens, Evan, for this schedule that we talked about so much going into it, I would have thought more 1-3.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, no, maybe, we were talking about hey, maybe you better not F around against the Panthers.
Right.
You're going to go 0-5.
3-1 with wins over the Texans and the Niners. Yeah. I wouldn't have expected that.
Nope. Not.
Tells you how much things can change in the league too with injuries, right? I mean, teams can change so dramatically week to week.
We also just talked about some teams aren't quite what we thought they were, whether that's positive or negative last week. You know, I mean, it's one of those where at the moment, at first, you know, I wasn't really as worried about the two Colts games later in the season.
Exactly.
Now I'm a little nervous, but
dreading them.
You know, and vice versa.
Like, bring on Christian McCaffrey.
We're looking at the Chiefs game next week. Like, all right, let's beat the Chiefs. But
4-1. Yeah.
Find out.
Absolutely. All right, Ev. Ev's got the Niners 23-17. I'm going Jags 19-17. So there you go. Anything else, Ev, before we get out of here?
Nah, I'm good. Just excited.
He's good. We'll see if the Jags are coming Sunday afternoon out in Santa Clara. I've been to Santa Clara one time. That was for a college football national championship game. Love that town. Great town. Been out there a couple times. Your mom and I have done the wine tours out there. Great wine country. Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Property values we can't quite, hang in with out there.
But that's fine.
Yeah, that's a great area. Great area. Wi-Fi, we appreciate you chiming in. He says, thank you and have a blessed day. Thank you, Wi-Fi. We appreciate that. Good luck to your 49ers. On Sunday, we'll be back next week right here on the channel to review Jags Niners. He's Evan Ryer. I'm Travis Ryer. Thanks again for tuning in right here on Ryer on YouTube. Until next time, song, everybody.